I got excited. I'm just going to be honest with you. I got real excited because what happens and what you do, and I know this is a side note, but it's a good side note. What you do with your life, the way you have your Christian walk, the way you have your Christian talk, and you ought to have those things, by the way. I understand your lifestyle doesn't win anybody to Christ, and the things that you do may not win anybody to Christ, but it may get them curious about Christ. And I understand that you should be confrontational, but listen, there are times when you're not going out to tell people specifically about Christ, but you ought to live your life as a way that it continues to tell people about Christ. You ought to live your life in a way. And understand this, when Brother Mike led that man to Christ, he literally changed his destination for eternity. This is not a joke. This is one of the greatest things that a person can possibly do, if not the greatest, in their entire life. And when you get to witness that happening, I got to witness a man walk from death unto life, and I was excited about that. When you get to win some, why in the world? I just got done reading a book, and I'm got to be honest with you, I'm so excited. Teaching on Preaching by Dr. Hiles. I've read it several times, and every time after I read it, I just get real excited understanding what you're doing when you're standing here. You are bringing a message from God to people. It's not you. It's a message from God that you're bringing. When you're leading somebody to Christ or you're telling them about your Savior, do you understand that you are bringing a message from God to these people? That's so exciting. It's so exciting to know that the power that was contained that we're going to talk about today, some of the most exciting times, I promise you, in Paul's ministry, we are going to discuss today, or if I ever get to it. Some of the most exciting times, some of the most powerful times, understand this, that power still is available today. God has not changed. But understand this. Well, we're not going to see some of the things that Paul saw back in his day. We're just not going to see those anymore. These are signs that were given to the Jews. They weren't things that were given to us. We don't need them. We've got Jesus Christ. We've got the scriptures. We don't need the some of the stuff that they had back then. That may sound flippant to you, but we've got the scripture. We've got to understand how powerful this book is, amen? But how neat would it be if we could take spiritual goggles one day and put them on and see what just happened when you led somebody to Christ. If you could look through Christ's eyes and see what just happened, the heavens rejoicing over that man that accepted Christ yesterday. By the way, it doesn't matter what person you lead to Christ, the heavens rejoice the same. Whether they're dirty or clean, whether they're educated or not educated, whether they're smell good or not smell good, it doesn't matter. The heavens rejoice the same over one that comes to Christ. I'm so excited about that. I got to witness that yesterday. It was so much fun. We learned in Acts chapter 18, we started talking about yesterday about the liberals and how the liberals, they want you to be tolerant of everything that happens in this world, but the liberals are not tolerant of you. They teach or they preach something, but they definitely don't walk what they preach. They don't live what they preach. They desire us to be tolerant, but they don't want to be tolerant of us. And we learned about that yesterday, and it doesn't matter where Paul went. There's always liberal crowd there, and the liberal crowd didn't like what Paul was teaching or preaching, so they desired him to leave, or they desired to kill him, or they desired to get rid of him. Things are still the same today. Things haven't changed in life and the way things happen with Christ. You tell somebody about Christ, they don't want you around, because we lead a life that wants to cling to the old paths. We lead a life that wants to cling to the old ways. We don't desire to have the new ways. We don't desire to have Hollywood. We don't desire to have the new things that people want to have. We don't desire to have a football stadium filled with people that don't learn anything about sin. We don't desire to have that. We desire to have the old paths. Well, people aren't tolerant of that anymore. Glory to God, keep preaching anyhow. And we learn that in our Acts chapter 18. We want to start out here in Acts chapter 19, and We learn that it came to pass in verse 1, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." So Brother Dave is going to get this morning into charismatic teaching. We're going to start talking about receiving the Holy Ghost. Everybody strap themselves in. Let's not get weak-kneed. Do you understand that the Holy Ghost literally does exist for us? The Holy Ghost is not something that the charismatics have wrapped in a package and we don't have any claim to. They've perverted what the Holy Ghost is. See, understand this. There is a power that comes from the third part of the Godhead. There's a power that comes from that. Brother Hiles talked about praying to the Holy Spirit, making Him very real in your life. Do you understand that we should do that? The Bible teaches us to let the Holy Spirit guide and direct us. The Bible teaches us that great comforter that we should be willing to talk and able to have commune with Him, not in a way that is fuzzy and frilly. I'm talking about a very real way. Mary Reinhardt always used to tell me, "I pray to the Holy Spirit when I leave my house that He gets me wherever I'm going safely." You know what? You ought to do that. You ought to talk to that Holy Spirit, guide me in whatever way I should go. You should desire to have the Lord protect you in everything that you do. You should have the desire to have the Holy Spirit have its will and its way in your life and directing your paths daily. And Paul did that. And he asked these men, "Hey, listen, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." He said in verse 3, "Unto what then were you baptized?" Do you see, when we baptize, the words that we say aren't just words, amen? They aren't just a blathering of things that we say to make it sound neat and tidy. "I baptize you, therefore, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of" what else? "The Holy Ghost." Not the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost in this case, okay? And when you say that, what were you baptized unto? Look what he says. "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." If you look in verse 3, what does it say? "We were baptized unto John." Did not say to be baptized unto John. It said to be baptized unto Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. That's what it's telling you to be baptized. That's why we do the things that we do. Amen. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." That's what you ought to be baptized in the name of. Amen? "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Oh, my goodness, tongue speaking. Here we go. Next thing you know, Brother Dave's going to be standing up there going, "Should have bought a Honda." I want you to turn back to something because I want you to see this. Preachers taught us this in past years, that every time tongues were spoken, it was a sign to Jewish people. Right. Now, I want to show you something. This is very, very neat. And you need to see this just because of the fact you've got to understand something. There were a lot of people saved at this time, okay? But really, there weren't a lot of people, okay? There were very many people out there that existed that really didn't have the knowledge of Jesus Christ because they didn't have telephones. They didn't have books and books and books that were written. They didn't have people going door to door telling people about Christ. Matter of fact, if you told somebody about Christ door to door, you had more chance of being killed than being heralded. This was a time when getting that information was very difficult. I want to show you something because understanding that there are very many languages. When you would go, if you go into Europe, you could have a language in Czechoslovakia and then a different language in Germany and then a different language in Norway and then a different language over here in Denmark. Understand this. Would you go from country and nation and country and country and country, understanding you could have different dialects where they're not going to understand what you say? I want to show you something. Look back. I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. When I read this the first time, I could see Paul's yearning to go to a place that is populated to tell them about Christ. But look what Christ did here. The Bible says in Acts 16:5, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." Amen. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Forbidden. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. Listen to me, that's north and it's in Asia. Okay, very populous place. But the Spirit suffered them not. Then, as you know, Paul has the Macedonian call and he goes over into Europe. Amen? We went over that. Amen? I want you to turn back. Look at Acts chapter 19 now again. And I want you to see something. We're going to skip over something. This is exciting to me. This is exciting. When Paul laid his hands on him, the Holy Ghost came upon them. They spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. 12 preachers standing here now. Amen? 12 preachers started to prophesy and they started to speak with tongues. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. He's still preaching in the synagogue. It's where Jewish people went. He's speaking here, telling them, listen, the kingdom of God is believing in Jesus Christ. But when diverse were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples that were just with him, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. I haven't had the chance to research Tyrannus yet, but I want you to see what happens. They're disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. This continued by the space of 2 years. 2 years, he and these disciples that he just talked about here, this is what I'm assuming, that they put this together for a reason, the Lord did, so we can understand this, disputing daily for 2 years, so that all they which dwelt where? Heard what? Now listen to me. If you're going to go out in Asia and you're going to preach, these men were not educated in 75 different languages. They were not. They were not educated in a way that one spoke Hebrew, then they went up into Bithynia and were able to speak whatever language that was. The Lord had to get his word out. Remember in Acts 16:6, he says, listen, I don't want you to go that way. I want you to go over here. I don't want you to go that way. I want you to go into Europe. That's where I want you to be. Paul started to have great and wonderful miracles being wrought through him. The Lord was using Paul in an unbelievable, miraculous way. Paul goes and lays his hands on these 12 men. That's what the Bible says, amen, about 12. He goes and lays his hand on these men. They go to start working in a school. Now remember, the Lord said, I'm not giving you permission to go into Asia. Remember that? They went and they started preaching in this school of one Tyrannus. They were in this school, and while they were doing this for 2 years, I believe the Lord wrought a wonderful miracle through them in that whenever they were preaching, wouldn't you love to be able to do this? Think about this for a minute. Wouldn't you love being able to go into a country and not need an interpreter to preach? Wouldn't you love being able to go into a country and be whatever language they are, whether it's Das Dutch House or wherever you're at, whatever you're preaching, they hear it in their language. See, that's what happened at Pentecost. At Pentecost, you had all these people gathering, and these cloven tongues of fire came down. I don't think this is a thing that is hard to see. The Lord is saying, look, I've got to get my word out, and I don't have time to have this start because, listen, the people are being persecuted here. They need to hear my word. I don't want you to go into Asia yet, but there will be a day when you do go. I'm going to wrought a wonderful miracle through you that whatever is being preached, the people are going to hear in their language. I don't think tongues were a babbling. I don't. I don't think tongues. Why would the Lord do that? The Bible says the Lord's not the author of confusion. It makes no sense to have these men that doesn't make any sense. The Lord, it's amazing to me. I don't think this is a coincidence in this chapter that these men were given the glorious gift of tongues. That when they were speaking about Christ, it didn't matter if you were from Denmark, Norway, Sweden. I know those places didn't exist at that time. I understand that. But whatever nationality came, that nationality heard in their tongue. Look at what the Bible says. You tell me, hey, listen, I'm just using common sense. You look at what the Bible says. This continued by the, in verse 10, this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, all that, are you telling me that everybody that dwelt in Asia had the same language? Is that what you're telling me? That this tongue speaking is a charismatic gobbledygook that only people that are filled with the Holy Ghost have. Yes, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and yes, they were given the gift of tongues. But God doesn't give gifts so that they just may be shown off. God gives gifts because there's a very real purpose for them. And while he gave this very real purpose, this is what happened. Notice this, and preacher is dead on here. Every time you see the gift of tongues, you see people getting saved. Every time, if you step into a charismatic church and somebody stands up in front of you going, blah, 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 and nobody's getting saved, don't you tell me that that's right. Matter of fact, people are getting confused and running out because they're scared to death. That's craziness, man. That's right. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Listen to me now. This to me is amazing. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. That's everybody. Now, are you telling me that Jews and Greeks spake the same language? No, Greek and Hebrew are different languages. And listen, at the Tower of Babel, the Lord separated everybody and confounded their languages. That's a lot of different languages, amen? Don't be afraid when you hear the word tongues. Don't be afraid that, well, when a preacher's going to start talking about tongues, it's going to get charismatic in here. No, you're not going, let me tell you, the gift of tongues is Mike Freimeyer being able to speak fluently in German. That's the gift of tongues. Because he met a man, and that man spoke German, and Mike was able to witness to him because Mike spoke German. That's a gift that God has given him of being able to be fluent in a different language to be able to talk to that man. Tell me I'm wrong. But if that German-speaking man doesn't have a German-speaking captain right in front of him, that German-speaking man might not have heard about Christ in German. You've got to understand something. This Bible's not difficult. But people have perverted it in such a way that they make this, well, it's only good for people that are receiving the Holy Ghost. You got to receive the Holy Ghost. Your tongue will be loose. Seems to me like their tongues are tied when they speak like that. These men were given a gift that whatever they said about Christ, people heard in their own language. Can you imagine? Think with me. How awesome would that be? How awesome would that be to be at Pentecost that day and the people just sat around saying, "Are you kidding me? Whatever that man's saying, I'm hearing in my own language, but he's not from my country. How is this possible?" There's a God that needed to have his word proclaimed. I know I'm beating on this, but you need to hear this because tongues are not a frightful thing. This continued by the space of 2 years so that how many? The Bible must be wrong here, right? Everybody that dwelt in Asia, are you, come on, seriously? Is Asia a small place? Now, I understand that Asia might be different today than it was then. I don't know how big Asia was back in Bible days. Asia might have been a smaller place. Maybe Asia was only 800 square miles. Maybe. I don't know how big it was. But doesn't it make your eyebrows go up to have the Bible make a statement when I was brought up, the words all and none were very frightening words. Because, man, when you say all, you're saying there's not one left out. When you say none, there's not one put in. When the Bible says, all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord, Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, it didn't matter who lived in Asia at that time, they heard the word of God. Don't tell me, that, by the way, only 2 years. You won't convince me that you can learn every language in 2 years. Right. Brother Mike, did it take you 2 years to learn German? More than that, to learn one. And Brother Mike is smart. One language, more than 2 years for him to speak. One. They learned them all in 2 years so that everybody in Asia heard? Glory to God for that gift of tongues there. Glory to God for that. So God brought, listen, now it gets fun. This to me would be all. We're not going to see these signs. Don't let Rod Parsley sell you a handkerchief here. Don't let Rod Parsley go on the TV saying, brother, if you just buy a handkerchief from me, it'll cure all your ills. The best thing that you can do with a handkerchief from Rod Parsley is blow your nose in it. Look at what this says. Now, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Why don't Baptists preach? Oh, we're afraid to talk about these verses. We're afraid to talk about tongues. We're afraid. Listen, tongues really happened. You can't stay away from it. It's in the Bible. Why be afraid of it? Just read what the Bible says about it. That's what you got to do. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul so that from, this is verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. How many have never seen that before? Raise your hand. You've never seen the scripture where handkerchiefs or aprons were taken from Paul's body, and they were brought to people, and those sick were healed. Can you imagine that? A handkerchief from Paul healed my ill. We're never going to see that again. We're never going to see that. It happened. That's what the Bible says. It happened. But God started doing wonderful things through Paul for the specific purpose of his glorification, not Paul's. Today, listen to me now, and the reason God was able to do this through Paul, the reason, and I believe this with all my heart, preacher, you correct me later on if you want, but I believe that this is right. The reason that God was able to do such great things through Paul is because of the specific verse where it says, Paul saying, "O wretched man that I am." Now why, Brother Dave? Why do you say that? Because Paul gave God all the glory all the time. Now you get, listen to me. I don't care what preacher it is. You get a preacher today that if he would take his tie off and give it to you, it heals all your ills. He's not going to give God the glory for that. Think about that with me. I don't care. In this day and age, me, preacher, anybody, don't give me that kind of power, God, and that's why he won't. Because he understands that the vast majority of men today would take that gift that he gave Paul, take that gift, and he'd say, "That man, that's all about me." You know what? You want to know how I know that's true? What I said, Rod Parsley, I wasn't kidding. He is selling those today. That you can buy prayer handkerchiefs that have been prayed over by him. And because they've been prayed over by him, maybe you can get lucky and get one that wiped off his brow while he preached. Who wants that? He sells those to you with the belief, by the, and they're not cheap. Handkerchiefs can be bought for like a dozen for like a dollar, okay? He sells them to people, and they take those and buy them believing that that's going to work for them. Now, he's not going to say because the Lord Jesus Christ did it. He's going to say because I've got the ability and the power to do this. This was a great time in Paul's ministry because he was seeing through God. Paul knew every time, I don't care what it was, if somebody got healed because of a piece of cloth that came off his body, he said, "Man, Lord, you are amazing. I cannot believe, Lord, you're using this wretched man who used to kill Christians, this wretched man who pulled Christians out of their house." You remember, that's why I started there, by the way. Do you understand that Paul knew who he was all the time? And that's why God did great miracles through him. Problem is, we don't realize who we are all the time. It's hard for God to work through somebody that puts up roadblocks all along the way. "Well, God, I'm good. That's why I'm here. God, I'm good. That's why you're doing things for me. God, I'm a great Christian." Hogwash, you, oh wretched man that you are. Just like me, oh wretched man that I am. And thank God, he knows your frame today. Even though you are wretched, he knows your frame. Even though your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. He's not going to be sending Brother Carl's shirt out to heal Wes. Otherwise, Brother Carl would have given him his shirtless long time ago. Maybe. Brother Wes is ornery. Paul might have kept his shirt. But these are great times that I believe God could only use a very special individual for this. Because that special individual never ceased to do what God wanted. He never ceased to preach God's word. He never ceased to give God glory. That's why he was able to use them. And today, like I said at the very beginning, today we don't need to have the special anointing of handkerchiefs. We don't need to have the special anointing of Paul. We don't need to have that. We've got the full scripture in our hands now. We've got the power available to us no matter where we are. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't need that today, but understand, don't be afraid of learning about it. It's not something that didn't happen. It really did happen. Diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Look at this. I love this. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists really happened. They really did happen. Took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." So these very, very hoity-toity Jews, the vagabonds, came up to people, and like Eddie, who sleeps all through Sunday school, came up to Eddie and said, "Eddie, in the name of Jesus and Paul, who preaches Jesus, may this evil spirit be departed from you." Hoity-toity people. Hoity-toities. And the people around them were aghast, saying, "Man, these men must know what they're doing, because they speak so well, and they preach in the name of Christ, and they preach in the name of Paul. They must be right." Look at this now. I love this. "And there were seven sons of one Sceva." What a name, like Skeevy. "A Jew and chief of the priests which did so." Listen to this. How freaky would this be? "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" Man, Brother Eddie falls asleep, and Brother Dave comes up and says, "Man, may this evil spirit be cast out of you through Jesus and Paul." And Eddie, out of his sleep, answers back and said, I don't know how they talk, but could you imagine hearing evil spirit talk back? And the evil spirit says, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who's this clown talking to me?" Let me ask you a question now. Let me ask you a question. Would they know you? I thought about that for a minute. Would they know me? And I don't go around looking for evil spirits. I think you're crazy if you do that. There's preachers that do that. They go around looking for a fight. That's crazy. I don't want to do nothing with that. I don't want to walk around claiming the blood of Christ everywhere I go. I claim the blood. Please come out. I don't want them to come out. Hey, listen, that's scary. They're real. It really does happen. Look at what it says. "And the evil spirit answered, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them." Leaped on the skeevy Jews. "Leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them." And by the way, they would prevail against us too if we don't have Jesus on our side. Amen. These people didn't know Christ as their Savior. "So that they fled out of that house," oh, this is good, "naked and wounded." That in itself right there is a message. That in itself is truth. You start dabbling in evil, in the way that evil works, there's only one way you're going to leave. And listen, this is not a joke. There's only one way you're going to leave. You're going to leave naked, and you're going to leave wounded. You mark it down, and you can visualize in your mind people who have dabbled in the evil. I'm talking alcohol's evil. Don't tell me alcohol's good. Alcohol's evil. I've heard people say, "Oh, I'll just take a little wine for my stomach's sake." Yeah, get some NyQuil. to talk about your stomach sick. Stomach sick, well, see, you had a six pack. Your stomach's sick now. You don't take a little wine for your stomach sick. You don't take alcohol. Alcohol's evil. You watch these people go around taking drugs because, oh, it must be good. Let's legalize marijuana. Legal marijuana is still evil. You tell me, well, I've watched pot smokers. They walk around in the fog that they had. They walk around in that fog. Don't tell me for 1 minute that you dabble in pornography, that you're not going to come out naked and wounded. Don't tell me if you go away from the church house and get into things you ought not get into, that you're not going to come away naked and wounded. Don't tell me that if you leave the things of God, that these evil spirits aren't going to leave you naked and wounded. See, what happens is this. We get our focus off what Christ wants for us. Evil spirits still exist, people. Don't think that they're gone. You should be very afraid of what this world can do to you. You should be very afraid of what the world can do to you if you walk away from the one who protects you. If you've got Christ by your side, you've got nothing to fear. And we're saved people. Christ is in us. Amen. He is in you. But what happens when you walk away from him? Now, he always walks with you. But I've seen Christians walk away naked and wounded also. Because they did not rely on God. They did not rely on Christ. They relied on what they could do in their self. And they left naked and wounded. Now, I understand that this could be 45 minutes worth of preaching here. But you need to see that the evil really does still exist. And you need to do your dead level best to stay away from that stuff. You need to, my preachers talked to me about men that got so wrapped up in learning about devils. And so wrapped up about learning about Satan and demons. Right. And demons is never mentioned in the scripture, by the way, but you know what I'm talking about. They get so wrapped up in that stuff that they get engrossed with it. Yep. And they can't come out of it. Yep. Why? It tackles their mind. Yep. It tackles their mind. It's almost like they leap upon them and they overcome their thoughts. They overcome their processes. And that's all they ever do. Yep. Stay away from that stuff, man. Let me help you out. The devil's real. That's really all you need to know. Amen. Stay away from him. Go towards Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. See, these evil spirits, the great consolation you have and the thing that makes me so excited is the evil spirit said, Jesus, I know. Hold on, no, you need to hear that now. The evil spirit said, Jesus, I know. The devils know and tremble. The devils believe and they tremble. If you stay with Jesus Christ over here, the devils will tremble over there. But if you come over here, oh, you may bring Christ with you because you're saved. But if you're not even calling upon him, these devils have a hold of you. Now, they can't possess you and they can't overtake you. You give of yourself freely to that. Sin is a path you do all on your own. The devils know Christ. I'm so thankful they do. Because the devils knowing him lets me know that I am more than a conqueror through him. A couple more minutes. Verse 17. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus, not the name of Paul, the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Yeah. Oh, the evil spirit said he knew Paul, but Jesus' name was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, by the way, wouldn't you? Look at this now. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And all these books being burned, all these books being brought by these people that were engrossed in these things, their pornography books, their magazines, their dirty, rotten books, the things that cursed inside the books, the things that downplayed Christ in the books, the witchcraft books, the Harry Potter books. And, oh, did I step on Harry Potter? Let me explain something to you. Bethel Baptist Christian Academy is not going to have Harry Potter in their school.
Yes, sir.
You get your kids dreaming about riding around on a broom when mama's at home riding around on it. I get sick and tired of this world controlling our children. And we can't wait to let them have it. We here. No, read this. Harry Potter's not going to hurt anybody. They brought these books and had them an old-time book burning. Look what happens after the old-time book burning happened. The ASPCA didn't show up. They didn't have the liberals out there saying, well, you shouldn't do this. Burning books, that's bad. We can learn from these filthy books. You can learn the ways of the devil. 50,000 pieces of silver was counted. Listen to this. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God. And the word of God prevailed.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed or afraid when somebody wants to give up Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed or afraid when people don't want to read bad books. Don't come to my school and say, I think my student needs to be able to read The Catcher in the Rye. I don't want filthiness in their minds. They got enough filthiness every day on the TV set. They don't need to have it in the school. I'm not going to tell you that I get every book that comes in, and I get it. And you're a censored school. You are right.
Amen.
I'd rather have them do a book report on Psalms than anything else, to be real honest with you.
That'll work. Yeah, that's a good one.
Listen to me. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Let learn from Paul. Let's get right with God. Let's come out from among them and be separate. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your word. And I'm not going to tuck tail and not believe this chapter. Lord, I believe this chapter. I believe what happened really happened. I believe that every person in Asia at this time heard your word. I believe that it happened with Skevi the Jew. I believe that the evil spirits leaped upon them, and I believe that you're trying to show us to stay away from worldliness. I believe that people brought their books and burned them because they were not right. And I believe that you still prevail today. Lord, help us. Help us to look to you today. Help us to come out of this world and be separate. Help us to proclaim your word and your word only. We love you, Lord. Thank you for being the great conqueror for all of the world. You're the great conqueror. Thank you for being that. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.